comment. Appreciate Brother Jones. What a message. What a message. It's great encouragement. If there's any place I get weary, a lot of times it's praying. You pray and you pray and you pray. And then sometimes you just say, well, it ain't working. That's what I say. Maybe you don't say that, but that's what I say. Well, it just ain't working. And then you go lay your hand on it, and then you really make a mess out of it. And the Lord teaches you to be patient. See, we get in a hurry, or I do. Maybe you don't, but I get in a hurry. God don't get in a hurry. Never has, never will. He inhabits eternity. He don't have to get in a hurry. He knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. He sees it all, knows it all, been there. He is here. He's already in tomorrow. But I sure am glad we can trust Him. Amen. We can pray. We can trust Him. I appreciate that message, Brother Jones. It's a help to me. Amen. It's a help to me. And I gotta say this. Definitely made me consider, even as Brother Harvey mentioned, a lot of times, boy, we don't pray for one another like as we ought. Pray one for another. And, boy, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Help me. Amen. Help me. We're going to be looking at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, if you'd like to turn your Bible there. And appreciate Brother Wayne asking us to come up. Me in the meeting. It's always a blessing to be here. This wonderful church, you good folk. Good to see all you preachers. Look around this room and see my heroes. Amen. Amen. I'm glad my youngins can look around. See some heroes. Hallelujah. Amen. They might not be throwing a three-pointer on the court. Might not be getting thrown in the air on Friday night at some high school football game. They might not have the achievements that some claim that they have. But thank God they got old-time religion. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They got the songs of Zion being sung to them. Amen. God's word being preached with God's touch on it. Boy, that's something you don't have in this hour everywhere you go. Amen. There's some things getting proclaimed, but they ain't got God's unction on it. Amen. May the Lord help us. Well, I want to do a little poll here this morning. Before I get started, because I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Now, I think we are, because we're all made out of the same dirt. Amen? But I wonder how many folks sitting here, how many of us has got problems? Raise your hand if you got problems. Of any sort, any kind, any size, any flavor, any color. It don't matter if you got problems. Looks like we're all in agreement we've got problems. You ain't got no problem? Oh, my. Brother Harvey. Well, I won't comment on that either. But anyhow, we got problems, amen. And our country, we look around, our country, I mean national, on a national level, we got problems. And you look around in our families, we got problems, amen. I look at myself, I mean, I got to shave this ugly mug every morning. And I look at myself, and guess what? If anybody's got a problem, this fella right here's got a problem. It's me, amen. And we've got, I mean, church problems. Let's just go ahead and take the plastic off. Let's admit it. Amen. Ain't nobody got the perfect church. If you did have a perfect church, there wouldn't be no people there. Amen. Because where there's people, there's problems. Amen. And that's just what we're made out of. And we're prone to that. And we do that. And we deal with that. And we can thank Adam one day after a while that he allowed us to inherit all of that wonderful working of problems. But yet, as I got to thinking and praying and, of course, reading through some of these Psalms, I got to really zeroing in on Psalm 40. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times we just get bogged down. Just kind of feel like, I mean, you're trying. to pray. You're trying to just stay faithful. You're trying to read God's Word, trying to be a witness to people, trying to live clean, trying to stay close to the Lord. But it just seems like you're bogged down anyhow. I mean, with all of you trying, with all of you of the strength that you can go on, you're still just, I mean, you're just hindered, it seems like. And you cannot really get where you want to get, and you can't really get in the, I guess what you'd say, in the groove. You can't really feel like you're really on top of your game. And it's just always kind of like, if I can say it like this, kind of like you're all thumbs. You just, you keep trying and you keep trying, but you can't really get where you need to. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm definitely inadequate. I'm inadequate out of the pulpit, and I'm inadequate in the pulpit, even of my own self. But I know He is able, amen? He is able, and He's the one that called me. Guess what? I'm definitely not self-called, because, hey, anybody who says that, no, the Lord called me. To be able to do anything, especially take hold of His Word and preach. But as I consider the problems that I deal with and the problems that you deal with and how it does just tax us. And a lot of times we just live day after day a taxing, overwhelming, despondent life. Now we can smile, can't we? Amen. Go ahead and smile right there. Amen. We can smile. And somebody asks you, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, doing good. And you better be careful right there. Amen. Be real careful. And I'm not saying you ought to air your dirty laundry everywhere and give everybody a sob story. And I heard one fellow get up here a while back, Brother Fraser. He said, well, I ain't got no sad stories to tell. Well, I don't know where he's been living, but I'll let him move in with me for a day or two. Amen. He'll have plenty to tell. But you ain't got to tell them, is what I'm saying. You ain't got to tell them. But the reality of it is, it's still there. It's still there. The problems of life are all around us, and they're all amongst us, and we're having to deal with it and walk through it and go around it if we can. But the Lord, I know this, and you know this. I'm just going to remind us this morning. He takes those problems, Brother Sexton, and He does great things with them. He does great things with those problems, amen. And see, if it wasn't for those problems, I'd get to thinking I could handle everything that life deals with. I'd get to thinking I could even handle the devil himself. Amen. You ever been that boastful? If it wasn't for the problems, you'd really get to the place. You would never pray. There'd be no need to pray. It's amazing how when your life gets turned upside down and really every door of opportunity that you know of as an advantage of life, it gets closed, and not only closed, but locked and deadbolted and nailed shut. Amen. And caution tape up on it, and there's no way to go anywhere. But then you always, always can go to the throne of grace. Amen. Those problems work great things in our lives. Notice with me, if you would, Psalm 40. And look, notice with me. Let's just read verse number 16, 17. Let's pick up there, and we'll look at the rest of these verses, Lord being our helper. Verse number 16, notice what he says here. He said, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. Notice what he said, in thee. Say that with me, in thee. Now, you can rejoice if somebody gives you $100. Amen. I figure I'd get a hallelujah right there. I mean, you can rejoice over some temporal blessing of life, but listen to me. He's wanting you to get your sights a little higher than that. It's not about maybe money or promotion or maybe some good deed that's been done to you or for you. But he said, rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Regardless if anybody ever gives you $100, they might sue you and take everything you got. Amen. But you can still rejoice and be glad in the Lord. That verse, he didn't get to it, but it's right there. Giving thanks in all things, not for all things. Amen. You can't give thanks for all things, but in the midst of all of it, as you're dealing with it, going through it, you can give thanks. You can rejoice and be glad. Now, I'll be honest with you, when everything's high and everybody's shouting, everybody running, it's real easy to get on with that. Amen? Rejoice with them that do rejoice. It's easy to piggyback it in. But guess what? Sometimes God wants you just to go it alone. God wants you in the midst of your troubles and your sorrows and your problems to still say, God has been good to me. Now I want to give Him glory. Amen. I want to give Him glory. In spite of everything, I want to raise up my hands. And people might look at it and say, well, why are they raising their hands? Why is she shouting? Why are they having a glory spell? Why are they seemingly so happy? I tell you, it's in Him. Amen. It's not in me. It's not in you. But it's in Him. Notice what He said. He said, let such as love thy salvation say continually. verbally. What he's saying is he wants you to admit this. He wants it to be brought out. He wants us to come to a place that we will tell ourselves and everybody around us, say continually what you want us to say. He said, let the Lord be magnified. You like that? I like that. Let the Lord be magnified. He said, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. Now, realize Psalm 40 is definitely a prophetic psalm, and we could all agree with that. And notice what is pinned down in the book of Hebrews and other places. And we know definitely it's pointing to the Lord and what He did for us. Amen. And I believe it was Spurgeon said this concerning Psalm 40. He said, be careful not to be trying to look to the stars while the sun's out. Amen. What he's saying is, hey, Jesus is the prominent fixture here. Keep your eyes on Him. Amen. But let's step into reality. David is the man that God used to pin her down, amen. David was actually going through these things. David was actually feeling these things and putting up with these things. David personally felt everything he pinned down. Now, prophetically, amen, he was looking to the Lord, amen. And the Lord definitely took this place. But David, just as we, just a man that was trusting God, living day after day, doing the best he could do through the downfalls and the shortcomings and all the mess that he would get himself into and God would get him out of, God allowed him to pin this psalm down. And so this is my thought this morning. God is bigger than all my problems. God is bigger than all my problems. Now, I ain't got time to list all of them. I definitely ain't going to itemize them. Amen. I'm depressed enough as it is. But I do know this. We've all got some of them. Amen. And as we look, and this, let me say this. Men, I'm not talking about your wives. Amen. In case anybody's just wondering there, I'm not talking about your wife being your problem. And wife, I'm not talking about your husband being your problem. Even though we can cause problems for one another. Amen. But what David is dealing with was just daily, life in, life out. Routinely, here he is trying to be who God wants him to be, trying to serve, trying to live, trying to hold that position God put him in. But yet, ultimately, daily failing in and of himself in the process. And guess what? You and I's going to do the same. That's why he tells us to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit and to yield to that inner man. Amen? And yet, as we look and we consider, what was David dealing with? What was he facing? What was the problems that was overwhelming him? And as he, even in this psalm, brought us to, he got a hold of it himself, and thank God we can get a hold of it. He said at the end of all of his problems, after he looked at them, and no doubt as we do, wrestled with them, tried to fix them himself, tried to get away from them, and you can't outrun them, you can't hide from them. I talked to a fellow here a while back, he said he was going to move to California. I said, why? Just try to get away from things. Just try. Guess what? They're in California too, amen. You can't run from them, can't hide from them. Problems are everywhere. But yet, thank God, he can take those problems to a great thing. And that's why David was able to say, the Lord be magnified. Now that word magnified there in verse number 16, it means this. It means to come to a great place. It means to become great in and of itself. It means to grow. It means to be of the greatest importance, is what it's saying. Now we all agree, God ain't going to get no better and he ain't going to get no bigger. He's God. But what David is saying is let him get big in your life. Let him get big to you. Let him be the thing that is the centerpiece of your life. Like Oliver B. Green used to say, let King Jesus sit on the throne of your heart. Amen. Let him rule and reign. Let that be the centerpiece of what everything about life hinges on him. Not your feelings, not your emotions, not the good time, not the bad time. But let Jesus be the main attraction of everything. And yet I see David, he's dealing with these problems. Notice with me, if you would, verses 1 through 3. Here's one of the problems that I believe David was dealing with, and I know I deal with it. Probably somebody here deals with it. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now I'm definitely no English teacher, but I believe all the verbal tenses here is pointing to, Brother Bryant, pointing to past tense. Everything that David is mentioning here is what God did for him. Amen. You see that in the text? He said, He brought me up also out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet. This is what God has already done. But why is David looking back that direction? I tell you why. Because one of the problems David had is one of the problems I got, probably you got. And that's the past that haunts us. Has anybody got a past that bothers you? Has anybody got a past? And sometimes you run into somebody. I mean, you might be going in the grocery store. And you're going in, they're coming out, and it's face-to-face encounter. And all of a sudden, it's a trip down memory lane that you wasn't planning on taking, friend. And all of a sudden, the devil starts pointing things out. Maybe sometimes just laying in the quietness of your bed and trying to go to sleep. Your mind will reach way back there and grab hold of things that, unto God, you wish you could hit a delete button on. Things that you partook of. Things that you had dealt with, things that you did as a lost person, and hold on, things that you've even failed at as a saint of God, amen? And the past that haunts us sometimes can be a great problem. I know some people that won't move up and serve God because of their past. They have this inadequate attitude of, well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. And what David is saying is, hey, you better get past your past, amen? And you better look at the fact of what Jesus has done, amen? Yeah, we might have failed. Yeah, we might have messed up. Yeah, we may have really flopped in the past, amen? And probably will somewhere in the future. But he said, don't let that haunt you. Don't let that haunt you. Here, he's looking back. Notice where God found him. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me. He heard my cry. And he brought him up. He said, I was down in a low place. I was down in the miry clay. He said, I was in a place that I could not get myself out of. Nobody else could get me. But he said, as I was there and I was calling out to God, I was waiting on God. He was the one that showed up and helped me. And can I say this? Everybody here has got a past. Everybody's got a past. And guess what? Everybody's got skeletons, amen, in your closet, amen. And everybody's got things that you don't want pointed out. Matter of fact, everybody sitting here, young and old, has got things you don't want to be reminded of. Amen. All of us has that. And yet I know this, sometimes it can be a great problem to you. Can be a great problem to you. You can get defeated. You can get to feel, hey, you can get this, oh, woe is me. Look what I've been through. Come here with me. Tune in on this station I'm preaching on this morning. Amen. You get to looking back. Well, I ain't been done right. My daddy didn't do me right. My wife ain't done me right. And so-and-so ain't done me right. You get to looking at your past of all the failures and all the flops and everything you've had to deal with in life. And you say, little old me and all I've been through. And David is saying, you better get your mind off your past. Amen. Because it'll haunt you. It'll keep you from praying like you need to pray. Amen. It'll keep you from getting in God's will like you need to. It'll keep you from really serving Him in the capacity that He really wants you to serve Him in. And yet as I consider it, our past that haunts us now, haunts us, we can look just as David and say, hey, look where God found us at. Look where God found us. Yeah, I've got a past. And yeah, look, that's where I was. Amen. But zero in on that. Don't zero in on where you was. Zero in on the fact that's was. Amen. That's past tense. And guess what? I don't know where God found you, but I know exactly where He found me, Brother Lockhart. And guess what? I was neck deep in the mire. Amen. I was in the filth. I was out in the world. I was out in sin. And amen, we ought to just take a time out and shout this morning for how good God is to come to where we was and reach us up out of that. And not only did He just get us out, but He cleaned us up. Amen. He put a song of praise out of our mouth. He has done something in us and with us and through us that only He could. Yeah, it was a problem, amen. I look back at it, and yeah, that's a part of my past. I can't do away with it, amen. But I can do this. I can let Him get big. I can let Him be magnified in spite of it and through it and because of it. I can say, hey, it wasn't me that done that back then. Amen. I tried to quit cussing. Guess what? I couldn't quit cussing. I tried to quit running the roads. I tried with all my might to straighten up. I even had a couple of, oh boy, you better straighten up, better straighten up. Hey, I took their advice. But I'm going to try to straighten up. You know how long it lasted? A matter of a few days. But when God found me, you know what? He put something straight in me. Amen. A new nature. Amen. That's in line with Him. That's the only way you can get straightened up. And so don't let your past haunt you. Just look and thank God. Hey, that He found you there. He took you out of that. He has made a difference in your life that only He could. Amen. You say, oh, but preacher, when He found me, I mean, I tried to serve Him, and I made such a mess out of it. After that, guess what? It's in the past, ain't it? Can you go back and change it? Can you go back and fix it? Can you go back and rewrite it? Absolutely not. I tell you what you can do. You can look back and say, hey, God fetched me out of that as well. God took care of me in the midst of that as well. God brought me through that just like He did everything else. And let your hands go up toward glory and say, hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Don't let your past haunt you. Don't let it haunt you. Amen. Don't let the devil beat you up over things. I'm talking about, listen to me, there's a thousand things going through my mind, different people and accounts of people that the devil and just their own mind, they thought that God didn't love them, thought that God would not or could not use them because of something in their past. Guess what? Hey, God is the one who is able to take broken things and put them together. God is the one that's able, amen, to take those feeble things and do something mighty, do something great out of it. Don't let your past haunt you. But notice the next few verses here, verses 4, 5, and 6. He mentions that, he says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I just want to zero in on that issue that he mentioned the proud there. And not only the past that haunts us can be a big problem, but Jesus can be bigger than that, amen. But the pride that hinders us can be a problem now. Amen. I know where I'm at. I don't figure that nobody here's got beer in your refrigerator. I don't figure that. I don't figure anybody's got Playboy magazines back to your house. I don't figure that. If you do, you need to repent. Amen. Get right with God. Amen. I don't figure nobody's got no Marlboros or Copenhagen in your back pocket. I don't figure that. But we are off up in the mountains. So, I mean, could have a little bit of brooding snuff hit out here or there. I don't know. Maybe for a bee sting or something every now and then. I don't know. But I do know this. Listen to me. We might not have what we consider gross sin in our life. We might not have just, I'm talking about reveling ungodliness coming out of our house and out of our lives and out of our mouth and in our families. But everybody sitting here's got pride. You can find the sorriest, low-downest individual you can find, and they're full of pride. You can find some that I'm talking about squeaky clean, wear their seatbelt, do the speed limit, pay the taxes, brush their teeth three times a day. They do everything right. Man, that crowd bugs me. Can I just say that? They do everything right. And you know what? They're proud of it, Brother Plymouth. They're proud of it. Everybody has got an issue of pride. And you know what pride does? It hinders us. Because when the Holy Ghost deals with you to come forward, first thing, oh, I don't need to go. I don't need to go. Two ladies come and prayed after that great message a minute ago. I mean, think about that. Think about that. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest. We could have just took an hour right there and just stayed in the altars after what we just heard. I mean, seriously. Seriously, doing business with God. Just saying, God, we have really missed it on this issue of prayer in our life. What it is, what it needs to be. But for some reason, two ladies came. You getting that? And guess what? We just let pride hinder us from coming forward. We let pride hinder us from going out. Amen. Not only coming, but going. I mean, it's amazing. I've heard Brother Frank say it. Hey, I've thought about it many times. Me and Brother Billy talked about it here a while back. How you can get so into, you can be fired up, prayed up. I mean, just full of zeal, full of fervency for God. And you can, I mean, come out into a public place and all of a sudden there's a little zip-faced teenage boy or some little girl working at a fast food place. And all of a sudden you are so intimidated, you can't even give them a gospel tract. You can't even invite them to church. You just froze. I mean, you're like that deer in front of the head. Like you just what overcomes that? What deals with that? What produces that? I tell you what it is. It's pride. It's pride that hinders us. Amen. I tell you something that we don't see a whole lot of, and that's just folk confessing. Now, guess what? We're not the Catholic Church. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're Baptists. Amen. Everybody smile right there. We're Baptists this morning, amen. And guess what? We don't confess sin to nobody but Jesus. He is our advocate, amen. Jesus Christ the righteous, amen. He is our mediator. He's the one you confess your sin to. But don't the Bible say something about confessing your faults? Don't we all realize that some of the best meetings that the Holy Ghost can ever stir in our midst is when we start getting right one with another? When we get all between one another, we get to thinking low down on somebody, and maybe we pick up a little gossip on this brother or that sister, or maybe we form an opinion. Listen to me now, we form an opinion of somebody based on whatever, whether it's good or bad or true or false. We form an opinion, then we hold to that. I tell you what, friend, now pride will hinder you ever coming to know who they really are. What a great friend they could really be in your life. Pride hinders you. Hinders you. Pride hinders you. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride. And yet we're so prideful. I'm prideful. Amen, I'm prideful. I mean, you know, somebody asked me this the other day. We was on a job, and a couple of them, I mean, they's filthy. They scraping popcorn off the ceiling. We was going to fix some drywall. I mean, they's filthy. Look like they've been watering out in the septic tank or something. That's kind of clean looking. They said, how'd you stay so clean? I said, well, boys, you got to work dirty. And I got thinking about that. You know what? I just like staying clean. I mean, just on the outside. I don't like wallering in nothing. Amen. And if I do, I'm going to go find me a shower somewhere if I can. If God let me, I'm going to go clean up somewhere. But I got to think, why is that? I tell you why it is. I'm just kind of prideful. I don't want nothing on me. I don't want nobody looking at me and say, what's that cat been into? What's he been doing? Well, guess what? It's probably good if you run around every now and then with grease in your elbows, amen? And grease under your fingernails and some dirt around your chin and let folk know, hey, you ain't afraid to labor on something. Amen? But pride hinders us. Pride hinders us from telling each other we're sorry when we do offend. One of the hardest things I've ever done is have to go to my wife and say, honey, I'm sorry. I mean, there's the love of my life. There's the woman I married. There's the mother of my children. There is, I'm talking about the one that helps me. I'm talking about the one that loves me. And yet sometimes I know I can just, I'm talking about be a real stick in the mud for her. And I know I, the right thing, Brother Seth, be, honey, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry I've been aggravated. Sorry I've been acting like this. Sorry I've been distant. Sorry for whatever. But those words just don't come out too easy. Is everybody with me this morning? Those words don't come out. I tell you nothing. Try to tell you youngins you're sorry. Get down on their level and say, now look, I want you to know daddy missed it on this one. Would you just forgive me? Well, that ain't easy. Are you listening to me? Stand up and tell the church, hey church, I ain't been what I need to be. I just want to ask everybody to forgive me. Well, that ain't easy, but you know what? It's real good. But pride hinders us. But God can get bigger than that. Amen. David recognized that the pride of his life had led him down the road to me now. Hey, he numbered them when he shouldn't have numbered them. He took a woman when he should not have took her. Why? Because he said, look who I am. I'm the king. I can do what I want to. Can you, David? Can you, church member? Can we, preachers, do what we want to? Absolutely not. But when we do go astray and we think we can, we can humble ourselves and say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And you can let Him get magnified in the midst of it, in spite of it, and say, God, help me with this pride. Help me not to be like that. You ever had somebody try to tell you something, and I mean, you was just dogmatically against it? Have you, brother? I mean, I have. And I'll be honest with you, they was here a while back. Somebody said something about, I don't know, child rearing, something about training your kids or something other, and they had like two toddlers. And my immediate response, I mean, I just cut them off right there. My immediate response was, wait till yours gets a little older, buddy. I mean, who do you think you are telling me something about raising youngins? And the Holy Ghost said, hey, truth's truth. Truth is truth. It don't matter if you experience. Now, if you experience, you've got a greater platform to stand on to pronounce that truth. Amen. But truth is truth. Amen. And that's, hey, I've seen it at camp meetings. They'll call, you know, a young preacher boy that's been preaching maybe 3 months, and he'll get up and shout. And I mean, really not give anything doctrinal. He'll just be on fire for God. And you'll see a bunch of old timers just look over their glasses like, Well, he'll lose that in a day or two. That'll calm down off of him. He'll shake that off. Boy, the first church he pastors, boy, that'll knock a wind out of him, you know. They almost say it boastfully. Like, wait till you've been where I've been, son. Wait a minute, ain't we got this thing mixed up just a little bit? We ought to be saying, hey, I remember when I used to be like that. I remember when I used to have that. I remember when I used to be like that. I want that again. I want that again. Amen right there. Hey, all the medicine don't always taste good, but it sure does work if you just swallow it. Amen. Pride hinders us. Then notice verses 7, 8, 9. He mentions this thing, and of course we know referring to the Lord. Verse number 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I got to think about this. Some of our problems is our plans that hurt us. See, Jesus, we know, I mean, God in flesh, God incarnate, he came to do the will of the Father, amen, and done it good, amen, right there. But we can't always say that. No, sometimes I get to planning my own way. I get to mapping out my own course. I get to making my own connections. You know, hey, this thing of ministry, it's got a definite political circle that goes with it. All the men say amen right there, that's preachers. It's got a political circle, and you better be careful. It will suck you in. Amen. Or if you're on the outside, it'll make you mad. Either way, amen. But I will say, hey, you better be careful not to make your own plans, scratch your own back, work your own things out, and recognize the fact that it's the Lord that needs to be magnified. It is Him that needs to get big. It is Him that needs to be seen. It is Him that needs to be heard, amen. And yet as we consider our plans that hurt us, David had made a lot of plans of his own self. And here David is the one saying this. He said, hey, it's written in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will. No doubt David was considering, am I really doing God's will? Or have I helped work this thing out on my own? Am I really doing it God's way? Or have I tweaked it and have I twerked it and have I brought it around to the place to where I'm doing it, you know, where it favors me and where it helps me and where it's a benefit to me rather than a benefit for the kingdom of God. Amen. I've done some things that benefited me. And to be honest with you, didn't even consider whether it hurt or helped the kingdom of God. I just knew it was going to help me. And I said, that's got to be good. Hey, don't look so pious, everybody. You have to. Amen. You have to. Amen. They've been praying, amen, been some selfish prayers go up. I wasn't worried about the church benefiting and nobody edifying and really no glory being given to God. I was wanting a bail me out ticket. Help me out, God. I mean, do me a favor on this one, Lord. And he said, no. I'm going to let you have a big fat problem in the middle of it. Well, you'll recognize that ain't what prayer is. That ain't what your Christian life is. That ain't why I've saved you. That ain't why I've got a relationship with you, son. He said, I want you to let me get bigger than everything. Bigger than that. Bigger than all that you're trying to work out and do and scheme and connive in life. He said, I won't get bigger than that. And he can. He can, amen. He can get bigger than that. Then I see verses 10, 11, 12. He speaks about this iniquity that's gotten hold of him. Notice he said in verse number 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Again, that's the Lord. And we see prophetically what he went through for us. But David here is personally feeling this, dealing with this, wrestling with this. And got to thinking about our possessions that hold us. And I ain't necessarily talking about a Cadillac. I'm talking about anything. Anything that comes into life that gets a hold. Hey, the words there, the wording that he uses, hey, my iniquities have taken hold upon me. It means to set on. It means to grab hold of and you can't get out of it. It means to, if you would, seal up. It means to come to a place that you're in a vice. And the harder you struggle, the harder you strain, the more you get away from it, the deeper it digs in on you. David said, you know, there's some things that's got a hold of me. And what it's done, it's took away Jesus being the main fashion of my life. There's some things that's got a hold of me. We talked about before service, entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. A good soldier. Hey, Paul told Timothy, a good soldier ain't going to do that, Timothy. Amen right there. Somebody's got to work at the fire department. Amen. Somebody does. But I don't have to. Does anybody listen to me? Do you see the equation there? I mean, somebody's got to go to the military. Somebody's got to go serve. Thank God for you men that did. Amen. I'm not in no way lowering that. But that don't necessarily mean I need to be the one. Matter of fact, I'm already too old to. I done looked at it. That was an option on the table here a while back. And guess what? Hey, as you consider this life has got so many things that'll get a hold of you. And not necessarily bad things. Fishing ain't a bad thing. Can anybody say anything wrong or anything against a good fresh mess of crappie? Golden fried? I'm talking about with homemade hush puppies and slaw on the plate. Can anybody say that ain't the will of God? No! No! But it don't mean I need to go Sunday and try to catch them. Amen right there. Or can I say this? Stay out too late Saturday trying to catch them. Or go any other time that's going to interfere with something God's got going on in my life. Amen? And so many things, our possessions, things in our life, they get a hold of you. And before long, it can get bigger than Jesus is. I know a lot of folk that I'll be honest with you, they're church people, and they're good people, and they seemingly do things right, but Jesus ain't real big in their life. They got a lot of hobbies that's big. They got a lot of promotions on the job that's big. And I mean, they got a lot of things going on in their family with the grandkids that's big. And you can size it up in just a matter of a few months. Can I be honest with you? Some preachers talk more about what's going on at their church than what God's doing in their own hot life. Seriously now, I mean, hey, sometimes we just get this thing way off balance. And we don't realize that things of this life can get a hold of you and really suck the life out of you, and you don't even recognize it. Don't even see it coming. You didn't mean for it, didn't plan on it. It wasn't something you chose to happen. But all of a sudden, Jesus really ain't as big as he used to be. And then in verses 13, 14, 15, he speaks about these that's against him. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. And I thought about our persecutors that hate us. A lot of times, your persecutors that hate you. And guess what? Everybody here, I hate to bust your bubble. I mean, I hate to take your butterfinger away early this morning like this. But everybody don't love you. Everybody don't like you. Everybody don't agree with you. Everybody ain't going to hook up with you, and everybody definitely ain't going to go the way you're going. As a matter of fact, some people literally loathe you. Hate you. Not necessarily you because of any personal reason, but just simply because we're trying to do right. Amen? Those that are righteous, what do? We love righteousness. Amen? And we try to do right. And we come to church and we try to witness to sinners and we give our money to the Lord's work and we try to seemingly let everything be pointed that direction. And there's some that really hate that because it points them out that their heart really ain't in it like that. Amen? Amen. That's why you don't hear much about tithing in a lot of churches. You don't hear much about standards in a lot of places anymore. Are you listening? That's why, hey, a lot of times this thing just starts fading away and getting cold and cold and cold until Jesus really ain't even ever even mentioned. We just come in, we go out, and everything's hunky-dory. We love one another. Let's have a fish fry on Friday. Let's have a Juana's on Wednesday. Let's just carry on with this thing. And Jesus really ain't the biggest thing going on. He ain't the biggest thing going on. I see the persecution that hate us. This world hates us. The devil hates us. I'll let you in on something. Your own flesh hates you. Your own flesh. Your own flesh. This carnal mind is at enmity toward God. It's an enemy. It is set at variance against God. That's why when you're sitting here listening to preaching, hey, you can drip off to nod. Amen. I ain't talking about where Cain went either. I'm talking about your own little nod. That's why you can come in here and you can fret and worry about bills that you got to pay. You can get here and get distracted and get, I'm talking about worried about somebody's haircut, somebody's new car, something going on in life. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Your very own flesh hates this. But that inner man, if you got the same kind of, if you got the same one on the inside of you that I do, the inner man loves every bit of it, amen. The praying and the singing and the shouting and the preaching, every bit of it. I love it. But the persecutors hate us. Verses 17, notice verse 17, we read that. He said, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And here I find our poverty that humbles us. Why is it God don't let everything work out like we want it to work out? Because He knows better. He knows we couldn't handle it. Why is it that God allows His doors to be closed that no man can open? He opens some that no man can open. I mean, God is arranging things in the affairs of man. God is a providential, sovereign God, ain't He? We believe that. I mean, He is, now, hey, we still got a free choice on everything. There is a humanity level of our will that plays into everything. Getting saved and on through, amen. But that does not take God off His throne. Oh, no. And so we see that God is here and He lets us. And necessarily, David was not a poor man financially. Amen. He's a king. I mean, the land, the nation is prospering like it never prospered. Here, I mean, He's got everything going His way. But yet He says, I'm poor and needy. See, it's more on a personal, emotional, spiritual, mental, intellectual need. David is saying, hey, I ain't who I need to be. I ain't got all that I need to God. I ain't got this thing all together. I'm poor and needy. And you know what? That humbles us when God reminds us and shows us that he's mindful of our frame, and He remembers that we're just but dust. And what is man that thou should visit him? And he lets us see that He is God, and we are just a creation, and He is the Creator, amen. And it humbles us and lets us see that, hey, I can't have everything work out in this life, or I wouldn't be so excited about the life to come. I can't have everything go my way on a temporal level, or I would never really be interested in anything eternal. That's why Paul, I mean, one of the greatest Christians in all the Bible, he said, I count everything but dung. Whoa! I mean, here he is, all the degrees he had on his wall, he said, that's nothing. I don't even want to talk about that. I mean, you could just, if he had an office, and he didn't have nothing, but if he had an office and he had a placard around his desk, you'd walk in there and scratch your chin and say, wow. Wow, hey, you got a certificate from Gamaliel, and you went to that school, and you know this language, and you got this ability, and you got that connection, and you've been here, and you've been there. And Paul would say, oh, come out here on the front porch. Let's get away from it. I don't even want to talk about that. It's all done. He said, that I may know Christ, that I may win Him, that I may lead others to Him. Amen. He said, I want Jesus to be the biggest thing going in my life. Everything else is real little. And so he said here, he said, say continually, the Lord be magnified. We need to say continually. David had to remind himself daily, moment by moment, the Lord is the biggest thing going. The Lord is the best thing going. The Lord is what I need to focus on and work toward. The Lord is the main attraction. And he had to keep that continually before him. And we do as well, if not much more in this hour. Say continually, the Lord be magnified. When the Lord's magnified, it rescues the perishing. Hey, there's people out there with no hope. There's people out there, listen to me. Brother Andy just texted the other day, had a cousin kill himself. Somebody told me the other day of another fella killing himself. Somebody else tried to kill herself, and they got them locked up in a nut house trying to evaluate them, see what kind of dope they need to put on. Are you listening to me? Men are living with no hope, with no desire to even live. They despair of life itself. And as we let Jesus get big and we magnify the Lord, they see that. And they say, well, if Brother Grant's got hope, and if he can go through that, and he can deal with that, and he's got problems like that, and he's still going to church, I guess I need to go and see what he's plugged in on. When we let the Lord be magnified, it rescues the perishing. Why? Because they come to Him. They come to Him. It restores the pitiful. When you let Jesus get big, when you magnify the Lord, Hey, listen to me. It brings about. We live in a day so many folk are messing up. I heard just the other day another preacher out of the ministry. Over really nothing. Just gradually growing cold and getting away. And before you know it, gone. Pastoring a good church. Gone. But when we let the Lord get big, it restores the pitiful. Guess what? Just because somebody messed up, that don't mean we need to write them off. Amen. I need a little bit better response than that. Because in this hour, it seems like that's the first move that we make on the chessboard is when somebody messes up. I seen that coming. I knew they didn't have much to them. Really? Really? Why not let the Lord get big? Why not let Him get magnified and help bring them back into the fold? Amen. Restores the pitiful. It renews the pilgrim. Amen. When I'm going through problems and cares and troubles and I'm just about on the verge of say, I'm fed up. And I've been there just a time or two. But I've looked around, I've seen Brother Jones, and I said, he's still at it. Old Brother Sexton, he had some folk leave his church and had some things go on, his wife's health failing and things happen. He's still at it. Well, boy, Brother Frazier, man, he's been in a battle and struggle, and the devil after him and on his trail. He ain't giving in. He ain't thrown in the towel. And when I look around, I see others letting the Lord be magnified in spite of all their problems. I can step back in the ring and say, I'm ready for another round. Amen. I'm ready for another round. Now, I know this is real carnal, but I throw this in here. When I fought in Badman contest, I had two black boys. It was my corner men. And I'll be honest with you, about the third round, I was ready to just say, let me out. Let me out. But they were so electric about it. I mean, I'm talking about they was throwing Gatorade all over me, rubbing my shoulders down, and both up, one in this ear, one in this ear, brother. Bryant said, oh, get, watch his left hook, watch his, get your feet working. And they just, just constantly. And then all of a sudden, one of them pulled the stool out from under me, and the other one pushed me right out in the middle of the ring. And I said, well, here we go again. And you know what? Sometimes I just want to get out. I just want to say, I'm tired. I've got a dagger right here. I can't get out. And I've got, I dropped my shield of faith a little too low. And one of them fiery darts got me right here. And I'm just tired and I'm thirsty and I'm just weary. And I just really just want to sit down somewhere. But the Lord just let somebody yank a stool out from under me. Grab me by the arm and sling me back in the midst of it and say, get after it, boy. Get after it. If I can do it, you can do it. And I see that the Lord is being magnified. And I say, I think I can go one more. I think I can stay in just a little longer. I think I'm up to it just a little while longer. And you know what? It's day by day. That's why God set it up this fashion. It's a daily thing. And yet I see this, that He rewards the perseverance through this thing of Him being magnified. You know what? Every church service ain't on the mountain. It ain't. But boy, thank God when it is. It's something we can get in on, ain't it? It's something that feeds our soul. You can't always have meetings like this. You can't all just constantly have meetings like this. But boy, when we get to. You know what's happening? The Lord's being made. We're trying to lift Him up. We're trying to set Him back high. We're trying to put Him in His rightful place and magnify Him to ourselves and each other. I see that He reveals His power when He's magnified. He receives all the praise when He's magnified. So how do we stay in this continual fashion of the Lord being magnified? Well, I believe it's three things. I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, we've got to stay little. Boy, that's deep, ain't it? Deep theology. We got to stay little. John the Baptist, Jesus said there's not a man born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. But John said, I must decrease, that he must increase. And we got to stay little. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I estimate way too highly of myself. Sometimes I say, well, Lord, it's not fair for me to have to go through this. Well, who am I? Who am I to tell God that I don't deserve to be going through something? Hey, we deserve to be in hell today. We deserve to be, I'm talking about on the backside of nowhere with no hope and no help and no avenue of ever getting any. Amen? And yet, look how good He's been to us. And so we're going to squabble over losing a job or bald tires or maybe somebody having a stomach. We're going to squabble over some of the most pathetic things of life and say, God, why you treat me like this? Oh, how we yank him from his rightful place when we do so. But boy, when we just say, God, help me to take it. Help me to suffer. Help me to go through it. Help me to deal with it. William Penn said this years ago. He said, Lord, don't take the burdens off of me. Just give me greater shoulders to bear them. Give me greater shoulders to bear them. We got to stay little. We got to stay in love with him. If you're going to let him be magnified, you got to stay in love with him. You got to. You got to stay close to him. Guess what? If you ain't around somebody for a while, it's real easy. When you get around them, it kind of be contentious. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't talked to nobody in a good while and you ain't been around them, it's real easy just to feel kind of odd when you get around them all of a sudden. You know what? Sometimes we let that build between us and the Lord, that variance, because we've been off doing our own little thing and it's diminished who he is in our life. David said, say continually, the Lord be magnified. Stay in love with him. But I thought about this, we need to stay alive. And what I'm not talking about, just let me put it this way. Jesus was calling all the disciples, these folk, a great multitude following Brother Lockhart. Great things is happening. One run up to him and said, Lord, let me go bury my loved one and then I'll come follow you. And this is the words of Jesus. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, is that possible? Well, as Jesus was looking at it, it is. You know what? As we look around, there's some ain't going to go this way. And I can't help that. But you know what? The ones that are going to go this way, I can help them. And guess what? Everybody ain't going to get saved. But guess what? Some's going to get saved. And guess what? I don't know the difference. So that means I get to tell everybody. And then they make up their mind whether or not they're going to get saved. And what I'm saying is, don't get focused in on the results. And don't get focused in on what we see. Because we're supposed to be walking by faith. Amen. Not by sight. And as we look and we consider this thing of staying alive, staying vibrant, staying fervent, staying on fire, it keeps the Lord magnified. It keeps him magnified. It keeps him in his rightful place. Jesus said this. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Wow. Wow. Let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this great psalm. Lord, I pray, help us, dear God. Help me. Lord, as you have given this to me, and Lord, you've allowed me, dear God, best I could, to share it with these dear folk. Lord, help us let you get big in our life. Lord, help us, dear God, not to get so cold and indifferent and full of apathy and Lord, so full, dear God, of this world and the things that we're doing. Lord, that you're not magnified like you need to be, like you ought to be. Lord, like you deserve. Lord, may we set you on high, even in this meeting. Lord, may we worship you and adore you. And Lord, may we truly exalt you and magnify you and let you get bigger than all of our problems. Lord, I know these folks sitting here, dear God, and they're struggling with things of life and physical ailments and financial trouble and, Lord, just things of life pressing on us. Lord, that does not take away from who you are, what you're able to do in our lives and what you've already done in our lives. May we give glory to you. May, Lord, we lift you up and let you have your rightful place, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.